Once again, welcome here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, and I trust, and I know, and I rejoice that I've had a blessed week, and the same for you. And that we, as we come to worship, will also come to appreciate. And once again, to be inspired. And to be led. And these things, not only do we come together to fellowship, but those things, those powerful things, the inspiration, the leading, and the teaching, and the inspiring, this is the work of God. This is the fingerprint of God as His people join together in worship. This is His fingerprint upon our services and our time that is led by the Holy Spirit. This is the design and the purpose of God as those meet in the name of Jesus Christ. To revel, to appreciate that salvation. And I think that's very powerful and wonderful and encouraging to think about God's design and plan for each and every one of us. But we have a choice. And we have a choice about, you know, being a part of His plan or not. You know, we have a very simplistic view of salvation. That we have a choice whether we will accept Jesus Christ. We will accept the heavenly gift that He is offering or not. We have a choice whether we will be a part of and to exhibit the energies to be a part of His will and plan in His also in His latter day work. Because we're going to see, you know, where His eternal round or His purposes being fulfilled in these latter days coming to fruition. Coming to where we observe many prophecies and things that are coming to pass. And we are observing. We see them today. And I believe with all my heart, you know, that here we're living in a day that many of the prophets were looking forward to and prophesying of and telling about the closing of time as we know it. And being ushered into a time of peace and of contentment, a place of righteousness within the millennial reign, when Christ shall reign and teach and gather and perfect the knowledge of His people. We're living in that time. And you know, if we see these things shaping up, if we believe truly where we are today, and the shortcoming or the short piece of time until Jesus comes, we're going to be seeing some really powerful and neat things coming very shortly. We're going to be seeing fulfillment of many wondrous things, very powerful things. We're going to be observing, you know, pieces of prophecy and fulfillment within God's design and what He foretold of. And today is a real neat time to be looking at. Not, don't get me wrong, any time is a beautiful time to look through the Scriptures. But to be studying about God's design and purpose and plan for His latter-day fulfillment, really, you know, we could be looking into the Scriptures as this. You know, many people like to look at novels. I like to look at suspense novels. They like to look at, you know, to see how it all worked out, whatever in works that just of fictitious nature out there. But we have something that is steeped in reality, in plan, God's plan and design, where you can look into it as that kind of suspense novel and look for tidbits of these truths and reality to the time in which we live and associate them and you're going to be observing them coming true. We have observed many things coming true to this date, and there shall be many coming. I'd like to talk about today. You know, I was led to as I was doing some studies in the Book of Mormon, and I was thinking about the position of us today. Gentile nation, a people that have come into His covenant, a people that were prophesied of, that were designed to be upon this land, that were designed to be in the will and plan of the Lord, and to be very instrumental, used of God, in order to be able to fulfill His purposes in the restoring of His people to a knowledge of His holy covenants. And the term that the Lord uses amongst others, not all other than Gentiles, nursing fathers and mothers, where it has so much deep and powerful meaning to us, inspired meaning to us, fulfilled meaning, you know, in through us, and the Gentiles that would be lifted up and they would come into that covenant. They would have a church established among them, as it talks about in 3 Nephi 10. He said, I will establish it. And there are other passages that are in agreement with that as well. I will establish it. And there are many things that we know that are going to culminate in his plan, and be also be a part of it too. As there are many people that are honest-hearted and good people out there that so the effectual fervent prayers of righteous person availeth much. It says, I know it says man, righteous person availeth much. And God does work with many people in order to fulfill His purposes. And He loves people that will come to Him in the name of Jesus Christ. And how do we know the mind of the Lord, where He has used people in many periods of time that we know not of? But we know explicitly of the fullness of the gospel that is going to be preached in the world for a witness. Jesus told of this many times. And if you'd like to read along with me, I'd like to be based upon a text that is in Book of Mormon, and First Book of Nephi, page 72, chapter 7. And I like to revel, if you will, in the blessings of the Lord, because He's promised much for those that have a desire, have an interest, have an energy to be a part of His will and His divine plan. Okay? He has promised we'd be a blessed people. Why wouldn't we want to want after, why wouldn't we want to seek after those blessings? Why wouldn't we want to tap into that power? Why wouldn't we want to be a part of that when there's so much, so great a favor? Now we find that Nephi is teaching his brothers, and those of the friends too that were along with them, and had been quoting much of Isaiah, and they had much of Isaiah with them, and they had a few of the prophecies of Jeremiah as well, and he makes mention in here about Jeremiah being cast into prison, and we know that was of course true, and. Chapter 7 talks about, and now it came to pass after I, Nephi, had read these things which were engraven upon the plates of brass, my brethren came unto me and said, what meaneth these things which ye have read? Behold, they are understood in according to the things which are spiritual, which shall come to pass according to the Spirit and not in the flesh. And I, Nephi, said unto them, behold, they are made manifest unto the prophet by the voice of the Spirit. Now, I'm going to stop for just a minute here. Now, they were made manifest by the voice of the Spirit under the prophet, and we talk about maybe the prophet Isaiah, but you know something? Those boys had a living prophet that was living right by them, and they were brushing that person off as if he was dirt many times. That was their own father. Their own father was preaching and prophesying of the destruction of Jerusalem at that time. and had many great and wondrous things shown to him, as well as Nephi. And Nephi was a prophet as well. And they didn't understand. How long had they been? How old were those boys? And how much did they stay in ignorance because of disobedience? Because maybe a lust for the world and the things that they had. Remember, they grieved over all the things they'd left behind in Jerusalem, all their possessions, which seemed to make them happy, or for whatever carnal reasons, those things had made them happy. But they kind of set aside, you know, their old dad who had been out preaching and risking his life like an old relic that had nothing of worth to say. And they had to have at this time, they had to have their younger brother who was interested, who was observant of God, who had a joy, who had a happiness in finding out about tapping into the power of God and all God's promises and God's blessings. He knew and he observed. He sat back and he knew and he observed of the goings on of the Lord with his father and in their lives. And those boys, with their hearts hardened, they seen many things. They seen angels stand before them. The ground shook. Is going to shock them, those boys, because they were withholding their labor when they're going to go to build a boat, so that they would at least be used of the Lord. And even then, the Lord, of course, foresaw, and there was going to be a great plan and purpose, even in Laman and Lemuel, and the people that were going to come forth through him and that prophecy. So, but by the Spirit are all things made known unto the prophets which shall come upon the children of men according to the flesh. Wherefore the things which I have read are things pertaining both temporal and spiritual. For it appears that the house of Israel, sooner or later, will be scattered upon all the face of the earth, and also among all nations. And behold, there are many who are already lost from the knowledge of those who are at Jerusalem. Yea, the more part of the tribes have been led away, and they are scattered to and fro upon the isles of the sea. And whether they are, none of us knoweth, save we know that they have been led away. And if we take a look in 3 Nephi, it says the Father knows. The Father knows right where they're at. And He was sending the Son to each one of them in fulfillment, to fulfill those covenants. And since they have been led away, these things have been prophesied concerning them, and also concerning all those who shall hereafter be scattered and confounded because of the Holy One of Israel. For against Him will they harden their hearts. Wherefore they shall be scattered among all nations, and shall be hated of all men. I mean, observed many times in history where the Jews have been hated and they've been sought to be destroyed and many of the such, and been a hiss and been a byword. Yes, those things have been fulfilled. Nevertheless, after they've been nursed by the Gentiles, now here we're beginning to see a portion of what you know comes right down the kitchen table for you and I. Nevertheless, after they've been nursed by the Gentiles, and the Lord has lifted up His hand upon the Gentiles and set them up for a standard, and their children have been carried in their arms, and their daughters have been carried upon their shoulders. Behold, these things which are spoken are temporal, for thus are the covenants of the Lord with our fathers. And we have been set up that standard. And that gospel has come forth, and that fullness has been realized, and we observe it, and we see it, and we realize it. And should know the power and authority of God's fingerprint upon our time. And realize God's bookmark. God's bookmark in time, and realizing what we are, who we are, what we're about, where we are to go. What we're about doing. That's our Father's business, of course. And in our desire to be a part of His plan, whatever way that we can. Whatever can that He will impress upon us in the way of the Spirit. It meaneth in the days to come, and also our brethren are of the house of Israel. This is verse 14. And it meaneth that the time cometh that after all the house of Israel have been scattered and confounded, scattered and confounded. Not only scattered, not only dispersed. Not only scattered and dispersed, all right, through wherever that they are led to, but also confounded. Also confused in their knowledge. Also maybe knowledge lost. Maybe where they had dissipated in their spirituality. Maybe gone into false worship or whatever the situation may be. Scattered and confounded and confused and disillusioned. But scattered. That the Lord will raise up a mighty nation among the Gentiles, yea, even upon the face of this land. Now we're of that Gentile nation, you and I. But we shall come into that, we are in that covenant, you and I. A blessed people. And by the design and plan of the Lord shall be used. Now, and one thing, of course, must be said, that we either will be a part of His plan, or we won't. And once again, that's choice. We either will be a part of it, or we won't. God's plan will go on and shall be fulfilled, and we cannot stop that. No matter what. We can't stop that. But we know that there will be a woe pronounced upon those that will try to stop it, or try to thwart it, or try to slow it down, or try to discourage it, or try to contend against it. But there are great promises and blessings and power of the Lord to those who will promote it in whatever way possible within their human energy and spiritual energy and intellect that God gives them and wisdom in their life. If their life is designed in God's gospel and planned through His Son, Jesus Christ, in order to exhibit that desire to help to bring forth His promises, great and wonderful and blessed people. And he says, but by them shall our seed be scattered. You know, and we can talk about what the Gentiles did upon this nation amongst the Indian people. And tried to destroy them in many aspects and tried to herd them up and put them on reservations. We did some bad things. And we go take a look down in South America when they came down there too. They enslaved those people and they had them work in the mines. And there are great diseases that the white man brought with them too. In many ways did we do some horrible things, but yet we would be raised up a mighty nation in order to be able to help in that regathering process. But no matter what we may say about our position, temporarily, you and I, that it's God's power and God's Spirit and God's plan that's going to accomplish it. We need to be willing to go along for the ride and be obedient. Verse 17, after our seed is scattered, the Lord God will proceed to do a marvelous work among the Gentiles, which shall be of great worth unto our seed. Wherefore is likened unto their being nourished by the Gentiles and being carried in their arms upon their shoulders. Okay, here he's trying to explain, once again, nursing fathers and mothers. We're going to get tidbits of this understanding as we go along about what that means to us. Okay, that this mighty work among the Gentiles, this marvelous work in the restoring of the fullness of the gospel, be of great worth to our seed. And here we find the very records that were being made known, manifested, the histories and the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and His appearing unto them. All those records were going to be penned down for posterity's sake, and that record will be of a great worth as it is being brought forth unto the Gentiles. And the word will be established in one, the Bible and the Book of Mormon, the restoring of all of his holy covenants to the fulfilling of all these things. Okay? And so it would be of great worth unto the Gentiles, not only unto the Gentiles, but unto all the house of Israel, unto the making known of the covenants of the Father of Heaven unto Abraham, saying, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Now would, my brethren, that you should know that all the kindreds of the earth cannot be blessed unless he shall make bare his arm and the eyes of the nation. And here we're going to find that in today too, and when he started with the fulfilling of the fullness of the gospel and that being restored, many other things. And there, just to say, for instance, Israel being there as a nation, okay? Very, very true, very founding thing that was done there at that time. And there's many other things as well. And we're going to see many more. Where God's hand, God's plan, God's doing, God's fulfillment is going to be coming forth when He makes bare His arm. In other words, it shall be seen and not covered. And shall be known. Those that will know, and those that will see, and those that will understand, are those that are prayerfully given to the Lord in obedience and worship and understanding. They will see. Wherefore the Lord God will proceed to make bare His arm in the eyes of all nations, and bringing about His covenants and His gospel unto all those who are of the house of Israel. Wherefore He will bring them again out of captivity, and they will be gathered together to the lands of their inheritance. Once again, out of the places wherever they may be. Out of the places wherever they may be. I believe within my heart that they are finding many places today by the hand of the Lord. Once again, not of us, but of God's design, God's power, God's leading, where they're being led to these people that He has prepared in order to understand. And with the spirit of belief, the spirit of belief, and we must be careful within our own midst, and in our own church, that we don't in many ways take for granted and go off into a spirit of disbelief because of whatever discouragements, whatever ideas that we have fashioned. We must be careful that we don't have the spirit of disbelief, but the spirit of belief. Remember, God's plan will go on no matter what, but we want to be along. We want to take part in that grand and wondrous plan and in His blessings, and how that will come to its fruition. And it shall be brought out of obscurity and out of darkness. Okay, there's many that's maybe in spiritual darkness, where or ignorance, not knowing, or in false belief, or false religions, in things that we know are not of God, or like I said, just flat ignorance and not knowing, involved whatever traditions that they have been following for whatever reasons. They should be brought out of obscurity and out of darkness. And we know that His gospel, His truth, and His plan is eternal knowledge and of intricate design and plan for them to be saved, and will be of purpose and fulfillment to their forefathers years past through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, or Israel. Out of obscurity and out of darkness. That very plan, that very design, you know, we look at a grand overview of God's design for today, but you know something? It comes right down to the kitchen table in front of you. About God has drawn each of us. And that's what the gospel does to anyone that will come to embrace it. It will bring them out of obscurity. It will bring them out of darkness. It will lead them to the path of eternal life. It will lead them through Jesus Christ and His mercy and His grace, the path of eternal life. Yes, out of obscurity and out of darkness to His design and His plan that may go on through the love of God to bear fruit, and that fruit unto eternal life. And they shall know that the Lord is their Savior, their Redeemer, the Mighty One of Israel. And of course, they do not know that. And there will be those also that will when they see him, and when he comes, they, well, where did you get those wounds now on your hands? He said, I received them in the house of my friends. But it talks about the blood of the great and abominable church, who is the whore of the earth, shall turn upon their own heads, and they shall war among themselves, and the sword of their own hands shall fall upon their own heads, and they shall be drunken with their own blood. And every nation which shall war against thee, O house of Israel, shall be turned one against another. We know that there is a great organization of false and abominable worship that's going to fall in upon itself. The Lord's pronounced it. And we find that the church of the Lamb is going to prevail by the power of the Lord. And they shall fall into the pit which they dig to ensnare the people of the Lord. You know, by falsehoods, by derision, by untruths, by leading away into carnal things too. All right? And here we get into that other situation here. All that fight against Zion shall be destroyed. We find a very profound statement. All that fight against Zion shall be destroyed. Those that will contend against His gospel, those that will try to discourage in whatever manner, those that of whatever reasons will deny it, not help to further it, and not with the energies try to promote it. And we can fight against it by also withholding our time. We can do it by wasting it. We can take time in many areas, not giving the Lord our time. Also with our substance, withholding our substance. You let the Lord do it Himself. Let the Lord take care of these things. When He asks us to give willingly of our tithings, you know, and then with that He multiplies the efforts that we have given. And then He turns around, He blesses you, opens up the windows of heaven with blessings. Would we want to deny ourselves of the blessings of heaven, the dew of heaven, the heavenly manna? Would we want to deny ourselves of those things for maybe earthly treasures that are going to rot away and be left behind, left to another when we will pass on anyway? When the Lord has everything in your favor. Got everything in your favor. We could fight against Him in that manner too. And He talks about, but this was of false worship, and this was an organization here that was also fighting against His Zion. Of mistruths, of downright lies, of idol worship, and many other things. The great whore who hath perverted the right ways of the Lord, yea, that great and abominable church shall tumble to dust, great shall be the fall of it. Behold, saith the prophet, the time cometh speedily that Satan shall have no more power over the hearts of the children of men. And we know we're going to find in the heralding of the millennial reign, when he's going to be chained for 1,000 years, he's going to have no more power over the hearts of the children of men. You know, we may not know of the exact extent of his influence until he is chained and taken away. And there is that time of peace because of his influence and how much he has caused in this world. For the day soon cometh that all the proud and they who do wickedly shall be a stubble, and they cometh that they must be burned. They should be taken away, if you will. Remember, if you take a look in the book of Matthew, it talks about the tares. There are those that are going to be taken away. And then we find that there will be the angels that are going to gather the righteous. We find they're going to rise to meet Him in the air as well. It says, so shall we be with the Lord. Ever be with the Lord. And for the time soon cometh, the fullness of the wrath of God shall be poured out upon the children of men. For He will not suffer that the wicked shall destroy the righteous. Wherefore He will preserve the righteous by His power. Even so be it, the fullness of His wrath must come, and the righteous be preserved even unto the destruction of their enemies by fire. Remember we were talking a few weeks ago about the mark of the beast. Okay? Here we find a little bit more about His eternal promises upon those that will be obedient to His Word and His Gospel and His truth, don't we? He will preserve the righteous by His power, even so be it the fullness of His wrath must come, and the righteous be preserved, even in the destruction of their enemies by fire. I'm looking forward to that promise, and small testimony to you, I don't fear about it. I don't worry about it. If we're about our Lord's business in Jesus Christ, we don't need to worry about that. If we are one of His children, He says, no one can pluck them out of my Father's hand. I believe that we're one of His children. He will look after us, a father after His children. That He will be preserved. We will be preserved. Wherefore the righteous need not fear, for thus saith the prophet, they shall be saved, even as old by fire. And behold, my brethren, I say, these things must shortly come. Yea, blood, fire, and the vapor of smoke must come. And we find many things. We take a look at it in the book of Revelations of calamities, you know, that are yet to come. But I believe that He's going to gather and look after His people. That He will protect them in the manner in which they, where they are. We have these, at this period of time, we have camps all over the world, if you will, congregations. Is He able to look after? He knows just where each is at. He knows where all of His people, the honest in heart, are at. And He knows how to protect them. We have a God of power beyond our comprehension. You know what's beyond our comprehension? Someone asked the question, where did God begin? Where was His beginning? You see, that's one of the things we just don't understand. That's one of His precious mysteries. Where did God begin? He always was. But you see, our finite understanding thinks of a beginning because we maybe make things with our hands, or we know of a beginning and an ending within our time. We begin maybe going to a certain amount of time, and we end a certain amount of time. You know, we began these services, we'll close these services. You know, we live by finite pieces of time. And you and I have a piece of time, and God knows when that time is going to end. And we will not stand. One thing we need to be understanding, you know, today they try to make a definition in different circles of what when life could end. When it can begin, when it can end, in man's understanding, in man's design. Okay? They do. We don't even have to get into that. You know about that. But you see, God, when He requires our soul, then it shall be before Him. Not until that time, no matter what the case. Within God's design. There must needs be upon the face of this earth, and it cometh unto men according to the flesh. And if it so be that they will harden their hearts against the Holy One of Israel, behold, the righteous shall not perish. I'd like to turn, if you will, for a moment over to verse 52. A couple of other things. I was doing some study last night, and different things kind of poked out of the page, and I just had to jot them down. I think I realized why. Page 52, verse 58 and 59. And here we do find where they're going through the wilderness, and God has prepared a means whereby that they would, you know, be sustained and also led, directed. Okay? And what really stood out to me, and we see 58 and 59 says, and thus we see that the commandments of God must be fulfilled. His commandments must be fulfilled. And His purposes and His covenants will be fulfilled. If it so be that the children of men keep His commandments, the commandments of God, He doth nourish them and strengthen them and provide means whereby they can accomplish the thing which He has commanded them. He provides the means whereby they to accomplish the thing that He has commanded them. Now I know that it was a great thing to this local, this people here, okay. But let's just say when you were building that building, Did you think that there were many times that things mysteriously just came together? And you wondered about it? And you wondered why this was this way, or this person was among you to do this or that, or to help here or there, and wondered about its design, or you know how it all came together so that you could have a place to worship. And many of the people say, well, it's just a silly building or whatever the matter. But you see, you in here and of a spiritual sight knew of the power of God working among you, and you realized that he nourished and strengthened you and provided the means whereby you could accomplish the things that you were commanded to do. And you knew that you needed to make a place of worship, or it wouldn't be here today. Isn't that true? Didn't the Lord provide the means? Don't we give Him the honor and the glory and the praise? Absolutely. And the Lord does provide those means. And if we want to come to Jesus Christ, and if we want to make our life a place of fruition and beauty in the gospel of Jesus Christ, He will provide the means whereby you can do that too. If there are obstacles from coming closer to His side, if we desire that they be removed, He has a way of making them go away. There are those that say that you know that about that have said to me, you know, I'd rather I didn't work on Sunday. You know? And I say, well, you know, you pray about those things. God has a way of making things change. And I have prayed in my job. You know, there have been many Sundays that I could have worked if I'd wanted to. I could have made a lot more money. But I told them, you know where I will be. And there's a commitment I needed to make. The Lord, if there was a shortfall, the Lord would make it up to me. And bless me many times over for what I will give up for Him, where I need to be. It talks about, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And so, and that is one portion, you know, of where He can sustain and nourish and for the design to accomplish what we need to in Him. Okay? The other thing I'd like to do, oh, go over to page 56. Page 56. I'd like to read verse 122. One small verse. And He said, he that is righteous is favored of God. And what does it mean to be righteous? And that's something that we, as we come together in the body of Christ, as we've come together today, to be here, because we wanted to be here, wanted to find out, what does it take? What should we be about? What should we be encouraging ourselves over? What should we be challenged over in our lives in order to help us to build, to climb in our Christian walk in life? To do the things that would be pleasing in His sight, bringing the Lord in our decisions and our plans. There are many things that are temporal in our lives that we think, well, you know, they're just a piece of metal or a piece of clay or a piece of plastic or whatever matter. But you know, whether we should do it or not, what should we buy it? Should we go to this place or not sometimes? But we bring the Lord in on our decision on our temporal matters. The Lord directed these people here on their temporal matters. They didn't have the means to get food. Did they need food to live? Yep. The Lord He made the means whereby they could find it. He didn't want them building a fire in the wilderness, so He made their food sweet, so they could eat it. He provided the means whereby things could be temporally accomplished, and He will do the same for us. I believe that with all my heart. He that is righteous is favored of God. If we desire to do the right things in life, righteousness, doing the right things. Doing what right things? Doing the right things that God has designed. Within God's plan and design. Doing right things, and in the right way. And you know, and sometimes that also means doing it at the right time. I'd like to turn to page 57, verse 131. He loveth those who will have Him to be their God. It pokes a very interesting question too, doesn't it? Even though He makes a statement, it pokes an interesting question. In our life, and in our ways, in our convictions, and what we know to be true, is He our God? He loveth those that will have them to be His their God. And that is a truth. And that, once again, encompasses all our ways. It encompasses our time. It encompasses the design and pattern which we may live our lives. But He loveth those that will have Him to be their God. I'd like to turn to page 58, verse 144 through 149. Here we find where Nephi is also having to constantly chastise and admonish his brethren. And basically, he was talking about, once again, remember I was talking about where they set aside their father, didn't want to think him of any worth and put him aside. And he basically, he was recanting to them, or not recanting, but telling them again of some of their blessings and the power of God amongst them, and said, "Don't you remember seeing that angel? Weren't you there when that ground shook?" You know, and such talk. And he says, "Ye are swift to do iniquity, but slow to remember the Lord your God. Ye have seen an angel, and he spake unto you; yea, ye have heard his voice from time to time. And he hath spoken unto you in a still small voice, but ye were past feeling." That you could not feel His words. Wherefore He has spoken unto you like the voice of thunder, which did cause the earth to shake as if it were to divide asunder. And you also know that by the power of His almighty word He can cause the earth that it should pass away. Yea, and you know that by His word He can cause the rough places to be made smooth, and smooth places shall be broken up. Well, then why is it that you can be so hard in your hearts? We also must be careful, and gives us admonishment about taking for granted things we know to be true. And if we sat here and we had a testimony, meaning of all the blessings that you have seen and observed, if we started jogging our memories, and I have heard many times you talking about the healings that have been among you, just right here. And there are those we know upon the prayer list, right here. There have been many healings and blessings and things that have worked out, and you have observed the power of God. And how about the power of God in drawing you to His house this very day? And the book of John says that's the voice of the Father calling you to His Son. You observe the power of God continually. And I keep this little, I don't know if you call it a trophy case or whatever you want to call it, but all the crossed off names that we have here because of blessing and answer of God. And we know it. And we know it. He says, He spoke to them in a still small voice. He said, but you were past feeling. You could not feel His words. That's why we find that it is imperative or important. Like Randy was reading this morning, by taking a little child, put him up on the lap of Jesus. And they said, for of such, that was who was great was in heaven, was of a little child. And we should become as a little child, humble, submissive, and meek. And if we were humble, submissive, and meek to be obedient to the will of God and His commandments, more to look to Him, that heavenly parent, to hear His voice in our hearts and our minds and in our ways. We need to be listening for Him. And He says, seek His face. To seek Him. Seek His face. I was reading last night, and I've read these things before. But Well, I could feel the voice of the Lord speaking to me in His Scriptures. I could feel that. And like I've just told you, there are these different references. That for some, I had to jot that down. And I had to jot another one down. And like I said this morning, I think I know why. And God will also, He will speak to you. That's what it's designed for. And His Word has power and has purpose and plan and will not come back to Him void. It will accomplish that which is it is designed. And here we find, okay, let's go back, if you will, to verse 43. Let's go to 43 on page 75. And the Lord will surely prepare a way for His people unto the fulfilling of the words of Moses, which He spake, saying, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever He shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that all those who will not hear that prophet shall be cut off among the people. Now in Nephi declare unto you that this prophet, whom the Lord, whom Moses spake, was the Holy One of Israel. Wherefore He shall execute judgment in righteousness. And the righteous need not fear, for they are those who shall not be confounded. We should have a joy also in doing right things and in righteousness. We should have a joy over doing the things that are pleasing in the Lord. And He sends us that joy and that peace and assurance. And that is a gift of God to those that will do the things that are pleasing in His sight. We should have a joy and a peace and a song in our heart. I think there's a song similar to that. I think Byrne was singing that one time. About something similar to that, about having a joy of Christ in his heart. And there are those who shall not be confounded, not be sent to derision. Those will not be in obscurity and will not be in darkness. Those of His people. But it is the kingdom of the devil. Those are the people that's going to need to worry and quake and shudder. It is the kingdom of the devil which will be built up among the children of men, which kingdom is established among them which are in the flesh. If we're on God's side, who can be against us? And we must be on God's side. We want to be on His side. And there was a quote, and I believe with all my heart, and said, I would rather face the cannons of the wicked than the prayers of the righteous. I believe that with all my heart. The time speedily shall come that all churches which are built up to get gain, all those who are built up to get power over the flesh, all those who are built up to become popular in the eyes of the world, those who seek the lusts of the flesh and the things of the world and do all manner of iniquity. Now, we're not trying to lump, not going to bash, not going to downgrade the honest in heart and those that are willing to serve the Lord and what the Lord has to do with the honest in heart and how they're helping in His purposes and all and the Lord's design. Well, and that's within the mind of the Lord. And God sure loves them. All we need to know what we're about, what we know, what our, the plan and purpose is about, and seeking to also to bring forth His Zion. That's God's plan. We find that to the center stage of His prophecy today. There was some announcer I was listening to on a program talking about the miner and the bird. That they used to take a bird in the cage down in the mine. And when the oxygen is running out, the bird would die. Israel is that bird in the cage. Look out. Israel is the apple of God's eye. And but His plan, His purposes. Watch the missionary effort and where it goes. This is center stage. The restoring of His people to the knowledge of the Redeemer, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the plan of salvation, the fullness of the gospel. Yea, and find all those who belong to the kingdom of the devil are they who need fear and tremble and quake. They are those who must be brought low in the dust, and they are those who must be consumed as stubble. And this is according to the words of the prophet. And the time cometh speedily that the righteous must be led up as calves of the stall, and the Holy One of Israel must reign in dominion and might and power and great glory. And there's a whole study there about this calves of the stall. Be led up in His control and in His power and His guiding and His wisdom and in His might and in our willingness to be there and be one of His people, you see. And He gathereth His children from the four corners of the earth and he numbereth his sheep, and they know him. He numbereth them, and he knoweth them that are his, as another scripture says. But you know, the assurance and the peace and the joy is that we need to know and realize that we are his. But we are a child of God. We need to realize that and live by that. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. He shall feed his sheep, and in him they shall find pasture. And because of the righteousness of his people, Satan has no power, or for he cannot be loosed for the space of many years, and we know it to be 1,000. For he hath no power over the hearts of the people, for they dwell in righteousness, and the Holy One of Israel reigneth. Now behold, I, Nephi, say unto you that all these things must come according to the flesh. Behold, all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people shall dwell safely in the Holy One of Israel. If it so be, they will repent, or give up the world, and give up false worship, untruths, all the entertainment industry, all the things that have to do with taking us away from Jesus Christ. The things that lead us to God through His Son, Jesus Christ, He says, are sent forth by His Spirit. And now Nephi, make an end, for I durst not speak further as yet concerning this thing. Wherefore, my brethren, I would that you should consider that the things which have been written upon the plates of brass are true, and that testify that a man must be obedient to the commandments of God. For you need not suppose that I and my Father are the only ones that have testified, and also taught them. Wherefore you shall be obedient to the commandments, and endure to the end, and you shall be saved at the last day. I'd like to take it to turn for one short piece of scripture, and that is page 37. Page 37. Here we have a wonderful and a blessed and a powerful promise to us. It's also on the front page of the Zion's Advocate, verse 187 and 188. And blessed are they who shall seek to bring forth my Zion at that day, for they shall have the gift and power of the Holy Ghost. And if they endure to the end, they shall be lifted up at the last day, and shall be saved in the everlasting kingdom of the Lamb. And there's so much in your Christian challenge about helping to bring forth His Zion, the government upon His people, the gathering of His people, the establishment of His government upon His people, the bulwarks of Zion, in that restoring power and plan and purpose in these latter days. There's a couple of little thoughts in closing. We need to be aware of God's plan and be a part of it. Lifting up and promoting His fullness, bringing Him in on important decisions of life, part of His will and His plan for us. Being part of His will, His eternal plan for us. Yes, we should support the missionary effort, which is paramount. We find in the power and the usefulness of the Lord in the restoring of these people that are being prepared of God, and they're to be taught of God as His missionaries are being led there. Support and promote and encourage that there be those around us that may be future missionaries, in promoting the fullness of the gospel and the restoring of His people. Not to diminish it or to take a dim view of the missionary effort, but this is part of God's plan. And if we want to take, we have no right to preach or to any one of us, I should say, or to talk about the restoration of the house of Israel and be, if we're not willing to support it and to help to build it up in whatever way possible, as God would make us a well of usefulness if we desire to be a part of that plan. We must support it by our prayers and our efforts as we pray for His plan and His purpose, His purposes, as they are to be fulfilled. And I believe that before His coming, those things will be fulfilled in my testimony within our lifetime. But regardless of that statement, my soul will be required when God requires it. But I thank you for your love and your prayers and your time and your devotion to our God. Thank you. Sister?